Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Now, the Minister for Integration, Roderick O'Gorman, has said that threats and intimidation towards public representatives undermine democracy after a group of protesters gathered outside of his home last night. Earlier, I spoke to the Cian Corlea of the Dáil, Sean O'Farrill, about the issue of politician safety. The Cian Corlea was launching an updated website called Achtana.ie, which is a searchable database of the acts of the Oireachtas from 1922 to the present day. I began by asking the Cian Corlea about the idea behind the website before discussing decorum in the Dáil as well as the safety of politicians.
Well, I suppose it's quite simple, and it's to make the acts of the Oireachtas and the statutory instruments related to them as widely available in both official languages to people, irrespective of where they are in the world, to citizens, to politicians, to historians, to academics who are studying or using the legislative structures. And I suppose we have long since embraced technology here in the houses, and we are now trying to use that technology to best advantage to really maximise public access to legislation and all matters related thereto.
Why has it come about, or how has it come about now, Cian Corlea?
Well, we have a Rann Ó Gnáis Do Chann, which is an Irish language section charged with the responsibility of developing the use of the language in the centre, of standardising the language nationally, and of ensuring that the legislative produce of Leinster House, if you like, are available in both languages. Now, there is a lot of catching up to do in that we have not yet got fully up to date with the translation of all of the Acts of Parliament into Irish. That was the subject of a court case against us some years ago. We have been working manfully since then to try and catch up. This is part of that endeavour in enhancing public accessibility through the medium of both Irish and English. But believe it or not, one of the significant difficulties that we have had to deal with when it comes to the whole business of translation and producing the acts, Oscailge, is the dearth of people with sufficient proficiency in the language to work in an area where cruinneas, accuracy, is of the greatest importance. And we have struggled, and we have struggled to recruit people, and we have particularly struggled since the EU recognised Irish as an official language of the Union, because they have been able to offer better terms and conditions to people who are qualified in this field.
Can I ask you, Cian Corlea, since I have you, about how the Dáil is run? I know you're at the centre of it. We have a new Taoiseach now in Simon Harris. We have elections, local and European, very much on the horizon now. And sometimes when there are elections in the air, the cut and thrust of political debate gets even more tense. Is there a problem, I wonder, about decorum within the Dáil chamber, how debate is conducted? Because you have to crack the whip very often, don't you, to hold people to the rules of the House?
Strangely now, I've had the opportunity over the years that I've been Cian Corlea to visit other parliaments, and I find that Dáil Éireann compares very, very favourably with many other parliaments that I've visited. That said, we see slippages from time to time in terms of the language used and what have you, and that's something that I would discourage. We are in an electoral cycle, and these are constant, these cycles. And as you move closer and closer to an election, whether it's local, European or general, the temperature rises. People become more animated very often. And there's the inevitable tendency to try and exploit circumstances. So therefore, the chair must work more carefully but more forcefully to ensure that the language is moderated, that the temperature is kept down. But at the same time, that robust debate can take place. People are quite entitled to have diverse views, and I would give my last drop of blood to ensure that they had the opportunity to express them.
That is the whole raison d'etre, isn't it? I don't know. Can I ask you about this? Because, and I'm not passing judgment one way or another, but very often it doesn't matter who's in government or who's in the opposition. The opposition holds the government to account and may ask a specific question, and then the response will be forthcoming. And then the response to that from the opposition again, and they'll be frustrated. They might say that there was obfuscation or that there was a counter-allegation, that they didn't answer the specific question. It's not within the competence of the Concordia to order the government of the day, whoever that may be, to address the question at hand specifically, is it?
No. There's two interesting aspects to that. There's a standing order that gives me the right to pursue a more satisfactory answer to a written question from a member of government. And I do that on a pretty regular basis, where a complaint comes into a TD that a question asked has not been answered fully or maybe not answered at all. And in truth, I find, and it's something that I'm frustrated by, that in the text of a reply to a member's query, it's normal to get about 60% padding and at most 40% response. When it comes to leaders' questions, for example, in the House, I am not in a position to direct the Taoiseach or the Tánaiste or whoever is taking leaders' questions to reply in a particular manner. But do you know what? Asking and answering questions is a particular skill in itself. And yes, there can be obfuscation. Yes, people can avoid the detail of the question. But a lot depends, too, on how the question is pitched. And, you know, there's time allowed for a question. Very often, the briefer, more succinct and direct questions can force a more succinct and direct answer. Wandering, rambling questions readily give way to equally wandering and rambling responses. So
well,
I think politicians themselves can smarten themselves up in terms of how they compose and how they respond to questions.
Can I ask you a very succinct question then? In terms of the atmosphere, the political atmosphere outside of the chamber, are you worried about safety?
I am worried. I've had discussions, for example, with my colleague Lindsay Hoyle in the Commons, where they have seen two members murdered. I am really worried. What happened here in September of last year was quite frightening. As you know, I've established a forum on safe participation in public life that I'm very delighted to know as being chaired by Noreen O'Sullivan, former Garda Commissioner, former senior officer with the United Nations. And we are enormously privileged to have somebody of her calibre and knowledge and drive leading this initiative. And she will be reporting with her working group early in May. But there is a toxic atmosphere out there. It is facilitated by social media. It has also been driven by extreme right-wing people and small groups who are stirring up hatred. It's not just hatred against politicians, but it's hatred against migrant people. It is profoundly worrying. And I think sometimes, Cormac, that we have been too complacent in allowing this to develop in recent years without putting a firm stop to it long before now. I mean, I've instanced before the abuse, the incredible abuse that staff in libraries around the country have had to contend with. I've highlighted the protests that we have seen, most of them responsible, but not all of them, at centres where unfortunate migrants have had to be temporarily accommodated.
And you say
maybe not enough action to
stamp them out. Can I ask you finally, because I know that many TDs have announced, Concordia, that they won't be standing at the next election after many years of service. The Concordia, though, is automatically returned. Have you given any thought at all to your political future? Will you be returning to the next Dáil, or have you made that decision?
Not finally. I had a cancer diagnosis last year, Cormac. Mm-hmm. My health is indifferent. I'm in remission at present, and I'm very pleased.
Good,
about
yeah.
that. I have plenty of energy at present. Mm-hmm. But with my wife and my supporters, I'll make a decision on that closer to the election date. But what is much, much more important than what I will or won't do is this whole business of whether people are put off by the intimidation and the negativity that you spoke about. And I am so conscious of the fact that I have worked hard in the 8 years I've been in this office to encourage more diverse participation, more women, more young people, more of the new Irish. And all the while we're trying to do that work of encouragement and maximising participation, we have running alongside that the reports of the abuse that people have to suffer. And it's very hard to encourage people to become involved, to get good people involved. And God knows we need more and more good people involved mm-hmm. in politics at local, at European and at national level. But if they're going to be put off and intimidated by vicious elements, we're all the weaker because of that.
Okay.
The country is all the poorer.
Well, you're certainly cognizant of it, and you have, as you say, mentioned it many times before. But let's watch this space, as they say, and let's watch this space to see if you will return yourself to the next Dáil as well. But for the moment, Concordia, Sean O'Farrell, Míle Buíochas Leatsa, Sách Leabhar Dlí.
Go raibh míle maith agat, Cormac.